Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate podcast with Clayton Morris. This is the show where we focus on buy and hold real estate. Why do we do it? We do it for the purposes of creating passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family. If you're interested in finding your freedom number, come over to our website at morrisinvest.com/freedom and download your free financial freedom cheat sheet today. How to use the money in your LLC's bank accounts. That's the subject of today's show. Let's dive in. Hey, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show. This is the show where we focus on buy and hold real estate for the purposes of creating legacy wealth for you and your family. So we buy real estate, we hold it for the rest of our lives. That's the goal. And it produces monthly cash flow. So a lot of times on the show, we talk about different strategies for tax structure, LLC structure, all of those things. And it can get a little complicated. It can get a little hairy. But we've recently been getting some questions about how to move some money around, right?
Right. People were asking, how do I use the money that I make when I own rental real estate in my personal life? Because we've talked about several times on this show how it's important to own real estate in some kind of corporation, either an LLC or an S corp or whatever kind of way you want to incorporate yourself according to your own financial needs, because it's a tax-friendly way to invest, and also because it limits the liability on your investments. But that begs the question, well, okay, now, you know, Natalie Morris LLC owns my rental properties. How does Natalie Morris, the person, then benefit from that passive income? Because obviously I need to pay my bills. I need to go to the grocery store, right? You can't go to the grocery store and pay for your own family's groceries with the bank account that owns real estate. That's not the way it works.
Is it illegal or just, you know, it's like uncouth?
It's illegal. That's commingling. Yeah. And so what people want to know is, how do we use that money to live our lives? So that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, I need to remind you that we are not professional financial advisors. We're just a family that tries to run our own family business in real estate investment to the best of our abilities. And that includes doing all the research ourselves, trying to figure out the best way to learn something new. And then, you know, there's always growing pains. And so this week I had a call with Provision, which is the accounting firm we've talked about many times that is very friendly to real estate investors. And I learned something. So this podcast is our attempt to share what we've learned.
Okay, good, good. So at a high level, why would you want to move money around your LLCs, pull money out of it? What would be the benefit of doing that?
Well, first, let's talk about the structure of how you own real estate in your LLCs, and then you'll understand why you have multiple accounts. Because you want to treat each LLC as its own bank entity. Now, you may have several LLCs that own real estate, or maybe you have an LLC for your cupcake making business or your personal speaking brand or whatever. Each of those things don't necessarily file their own tax return. They are reported on your tax return because you're the owner of those things. So you open a business, an S corp or an LLC, and you get an EIN number, right? That's like the business's social security number. But that EIN number is owned by you, either as a partnership or an S corporation. You report that on your tax returns, right? Because it is something you own.
Right.
So even though each of them sort of operates like its own thing, they're still owned by you. So you'll be taxed on the income in those corporations and an S corp and a partnership on your personal returns. But that doesn't mean that bank account is just yours for the taking because you're the owner. Because if you were to take business money and say buy your groceries out of it, that's commingling. That means that you're taking advantage of a tax rate for businesses that is not meant for individuals. And just to recap that, the way that a business is taxed is very different from the way that a person is taxed. So if a business makes $100 but has $50 in expenses, they are taxed on the net profit. That means the government will take their, say, 25-35% tax rate and tax them on $50. But if a person like you, Clayton Morris, makes $100 and someone just writes you a check to Clayton Morris, And you still have those $50 of expenses, but you're reporting this as a person.
Right.
So you are taxed at your tax rate, 25, 35% on $100, not $50. So the government wants businesses to have money and make money and make expenses and all of that stuff because it grows our economy. But those same rules don't apply to us as sole proprietors. So you can't just start using that money to like make your money. How do I put this? You can't just start using business money so that like there's more expenses in your business account. And you also can't just start using that money because you didn't pay taxes on that money, right? If I were to take $100 and go grocery shopping out of the LLC, that's money that I have not paid taxes on as a person. I'm benefiting on money that's not really, the government hasn't had its chance to get its hooks on. So it's illegal commingling. You cannot do it.
Today's episode is brought to you by Mack Weldon. What is Mack Weldon? Well, they make fantastic clothes. Really smart design, premium fabrics, super simple to shop if you go to MackWeldon.com. But forget about all that for a second. I just want to talk to you about their pants. So I'm super lazy on the weekends. Yes, my wife, I swear to God, I just want to sit around in like some loungewear and some sweatpants. But I've had crappy sweatpants. In fact, the only pair of loungewear that I had were like these terrible sweatpants that shrunk. And I refused or just was too lazy to buy a new pair because we're men, right? We don't, I just don't think about it. I don't think about underwear, undershirts, and I'll literally wear them till they deteriorate and they'll fall apart in like little chunks of fabric being held together by duct tape or something. So I had this terrible pair of like loungewear that I would wear on the couch. And it was so bad that the elastic in the waist had fallen apart. So I would have to, when I got up to go to the bathroom and just walk around, I'd have to hold them up with my hand. Not only that, they shrunk so that they were high up on my calf as well. It's insane, right? It's ridiculous. The whole reason we got into real estate, though, was because we wanted to be able to spend more time with our family, kick back, relax. But I wanted to have some good pants. So I found out about Mack Weldon. I'd heard about them from a couple of my friends. So I went over and checked them out at MackWeldon.com. That's MackWeldon. And they have the pants that I was looking for. They have what's called the Sunday pant. I'm telling you, order one of these right now. You will not be upset. And it will be the best thing you've ever worn, the most comfortable lounge pants you've ever worn. So the Sunday pant, it's like, it almost looks like classy enough that I could wear it to Starbucks or like wear it to the mall and not be made fun of. And in fact, I'm actually thinking I might try to do that. Maybe I'll even share a picture of it on my Instagram account. Me walking around the mall in my Mack Weldon Sunday pants. They're super comfortable, fantastic fabrics, and they're going to last for a long, long time because they're designed well. They're made well. And it's better than anything you're wearing right now. I absolutely guarantee it. So they have fantastic stuff. Go over to MackWeldon.com. And guess what? Just for listening to this podcast, they want to give you 20% off. So just use the promo code Clayton. That's my name, Clayton. So when you go to MackWeldon.com, use the promo code Clayton. You'll get 20% off your order. I'm telling you, go grab the Sunday pant right now. Go buy it. And you know, share us some pictures. Go ahead and email them in to us at the office. I want to see these things. And actually, maybe we should have a little contest. And we'll post them up on our Morris Invest Facebook page. If you send me the photos, I'll post them up there. I swear to you. The most ridiculous place that you go with these pants on, take a picture of yourself or have your spouse take a picture of you with these pants on, the Sunday pant, and I'll post them up on our Morris Invest Facebook page. And we'll see who can do the most outrageous. I'm going to wear mine. Maybe I'll even wear mine to the golf course. Check them out. Go to MackWeldon.com. Get 20% off right now using the promo code Clayton. And share your pictures with me because I want to see them. Thanks, Mack Weldon. I love your pants. All right. So we know that it's illegal. Okay. So now how do we structure it so where we can tap into some of that money? Let's say, well, obviously, you know, is there a difference between an active account and a passive account? So when someone sets up a passive real estate account or a passive real estate LLC, that is, their company is just there as an LLC collecting rent payments every month. That's different than an active business. Like we run an active business. For most real estate investors, right, they're just setting up an LLC. It's a passive LLC. And therefore, the money's coming into that bank account. Is there any difference there, whether or not active or passive?
A bank account is really a bank account. And we've talked about how it's important for your business to have four different accounts and you pay yourself first. This is the profit first system that we've gone over many times. And so, yes,
by the way, We have a whole episode, episode 10 with Mike Michalowicz. Our interview with him, he's the author of The Profit First System. Go back and listen to episode 10 of the show, The Investing in Real Estate Show. You can find it on iTunes. So go back and listen to that. And then we separately did a whole episode on how to set up the Profit First System as well. So that's in the archives as well. And that is, let's see if I can even find it. Anyway, make your point and I'll see if I can find it.
Okay. Well, at a very minimum, every dollar spent should be allocated to some of it for operating expenses, meaning how do you run these properties, your property management, what have you, some for tax savings because you will be taxed on this money, some for paying the owners, right? Your paycheck, that's how you get money out of it. And then some for what was operating expense, taxes. Oh, and the profit account, which is like right. Your savings account. Okay. So those are the four different accounts in Profit First. Okay. So we are going to assume that your LLC has at least those accounts. Now, your owner pay doesn't have to be owned by the LLC, right? Because your owner pay account is like your personal checking account. So say you've got this business, Natalie LLC, and it makes $100. Some goes into the tax savings, some goes into the profit savings, some stays in that checking account for operating expense. It's a business checking account. And then some goes to me, my personal, that's how I benefit from this money, right? Now the question is, how do I move those dollars into those different accounts? Because, well, first of all, your LLC has to own the bank account. You can't just open a new bank account and say, okay, well, I'm going to use this bank account that I just got at my local bank as the business account. It belongs to me and I'll just put money in there. One, because your rent checks should be coming in the name of your LLC. So then you can't deposit that in your checking account. And two, because the bank is going to report that money on the EIN of the business. So the business has to own the bank account, not you. Obviously you own the business and that, you know, they could peel back the onion and find you, but you have to have a business savings account, a business checking account, right? They have to be owned by the business. Now, let's say you have several of these LLCs. Let's say you have at least one or two, right? These two LLCs own property, and we like to say you put about $150,000 in value of real estate. So that could be three or four properties. It could be one multifamily. It could be whatever, right? So let's say you have Natalie LLC and Clayton LLC, and they both own rental real estate. Okay.
Okay.
And they're owned by a holding company. This is like, it's an LLC in our case. Anyway, we have an LLC that's taxed as an S corp, and it's like, think of it as an umbrella. This is the company that owns these two.
So let's call it Ultimate LLC, but it's actually an S corp.
Okay. That's a good one.
So Ultimate. Right. So, and that's the umbrella.
I'm terrible at coming up with these names on the fly. I feel like.
Well, I mean, I just have to people understand that it sits above Clayton LLC and Natalie LLC,
right?
So it's Ultimate LLC is it's taxed as an S corp, right? Because we created it as an S corp. It technically is an LLC. The way that we structured it with our lawyers, though, is that it is taxed as an S corp.
Right.
Okay.
How to do that? I don't know. This is where you bring in the big guns, right?
The lawyers,
You make sure that someone knows how to set up your corporation exactly so, because this is, again, it's owned by you. It could be you and your spouse. It could be you alone. Could be you and a partner. It doesn't really matter who is the second person or how many people, right? But you are one of the owners of it on your personal social security number. So, okay. So Ultimate LLC owns these two LLCs, right? Natalie and Clayton. Okay. Now, how do I move money into, like, can I move money between Natalie and Clayton? Here's the question.
No.
No. Good. You got it right.
All right.
You cannot do that.
Because remember that one time when I accidentally deposited a check that was made out to like me, it was made out to the company somehow and I deposited it into my personal our joint checking account and you flipped out at me. She can get fiery, you know, she's got that Latina fire in her, mm-hmm. right? But she Oh man, don't cross her. This was the most angry I think I've ever seen her.
Well, right, because it was a pretty sizable check and I didn't want to pay taxes on that on our personal return because of the way that the taxation works, and also just for a lot of different reasons, I was afraid, you know, that could raise a red flag if the IRS was like, what's this? This is business money going straight into their pocket. That's not, you know, that wasn't taxed appropriately. That raises your risk for an audit. So I asked our lawyer or our accountants about it, and they said, well, okay, you know, keep this email as a record and keep, you know, transfer that money right over and keep a record of it. So if anyone ever came knocking, we would just say this was a bonehead mistake. We didn't mean to do it. And then we put it right away in the right account. You don't want to be moving, you know, money around like this unless you have a good reason to. You know, if you're going to have a good record of what you pay yourself every month, right? You're going to have a good record of what you purchase. So one of my big questions was, okay, say in Clayton LLC, we've accumulated enough money to buy a new property, but we're not putting new properties into Clayton LLC. Can I use the money from that bank account and buy a new property into Natalie LLC? What do you think?
Use the money from Clayton LLC to buy a property that will go into Natalie LLC. I would think, yes, you could.
You can't. You're not supposed to.
Okay.
So, you know, what I was told, I mean, that you can, but again, like what you're trying to do is treat each entity as its own, like burning and churning piece.
Well, and I guess think of it like, okay, you run a landscaping company, which could be Clayton LLC, and you run a hair salon, which is Natalie LLC, right?
Yeah. I guess that's a good way to think of it. Yeah.
Natalie LLC or the Natalie's hair salon wouldn't buy a lawnmower for the landscaping company.
Well, it could if it wanted to write a note on that. My dad does that sometimes, actually, because he has a landscaping company.
Or he could like do a mortgage on it, right?
He'll do like, I'll lend to this business, but I'll structure a proper note and make sure that it's properly paper trailed. Hmm. But yeah, you wouldn't just give money in between the two businesses. So what I was told to do, if you want to do that, send that money up through Ultimate LLC, the umbrella LLC, and then
just transfer, like a simple transfer to Ultimate LLC.
Yeah, he's like, okay. You know, I mean, our accountant was like, it's just a few clicks on a bank site, you know, because you own all of these things. Hopefully most of your accounts are within the same bank. You just send it up to one, and then he said, put it in your personal name, like. Put that money either through the umbrella company or directly to you, doesn't matter, into your personal name, and then purchase it in the LLC. And that is okay. And so my big question was, well, okay, but then say I needed $40,000 to buy a property and I sent that $40,000 into my own account. Am I taxed on that? Like, do I get taxed on that $40,000 at my personal tax rate, because that would be double taxation, right? Because the company already paid taxes on that money before I put it in a savings account. And then I'm going to pay taxes on it too. And so I didn't want to take money freely out of these business accounts because I was afraid that it would really put a hard burden on our tax bill. And what he said to me is that a distribution, which is just like when you give yourself money out of these accounts, a distribution from an S corp and a partnership are not taxed because you will be taxed on the income in the S corporation. Let me say this again. You will be taxed on the net income in an S corporation and a partnership on your personal return. Does that make sense?
Right. So your S corp is not like a massive corporation that's going to be taxed separately. Your S corp is already going to show up on your personal tax returns, and therefore you will have already been taxed on it. So you're not going to be being double taxed in an effort to, you know, to use that money.
But I think net is an important word there, because you're going to be taxed on the net income in the business. So obviously the expenses you have in the business are going to lower your net income. And that's going to be great, right? So that's why we love expenses, because they lower your net income. But that net income then is reported on our personal return. So in years past, we've had it so, you know, the company owed some money, but because the net income of the company was reported on our personal tax return, Clayton pays a lot of money in his paycheck to taxes. So the amount that he had paid in his day job offset what we owed for the business, because it's all part of the same beast, right? Does that make sense?
Right.
Okay. So do you have a question?
No, but I was going to say, why did we even think about doing this in the first place? Well, we wanted to start using some of our rental income to pay our primary mortgage that we own, where we live right now, which you're seeing us here on camera. This is our primary, you know, primary residence, primary offices, and so forth. We wanted to pay this down. It was a new house. We just moved in. We wanted to really start being targeted and paying off our primary note on this property. How did we want to do that? We wanted to use some money from the business, from the rental income, from our rental properties. So how do we do that? And before we started to do it, we wanted to get these answers so we could, you know, take that $10,000 a month, $20,000 a month from our rental income and just do it like a laser targeted approach on paying off our primary residence. Well, can we mix them? Can we use rental income from the business as an LLC in the holding company to pay Clayton and Natalie, which is in the primary residence where we live? So would it operate the same way? And the answer is yes, we can do it.
We can.
And no, we will not be double taxed.
Right. Yeah. So I was just really worried, like, oh, if we take too much out, because we take a salary from our businesses that we own, a regular salary that's already taxed because we pay federal taxes on it. We pay ourselves as employees of the business. But then can we take any more of that money without increasing our taxation? And the answer is no. But again, you know, you just want to be careful of how you move that money about. Like I said, you can't, you know, use one to the other. It can't go across. It's got to go just up. It's got to go up the chain to the holding. And if you go above Ultimate LLC, it's us as people, right?
Right.
So it's Clayton and Natalie own Ultimate, and then down below is whatever LLCs we own.
Right. So let me ask you this question before we wrap it up. Is it important to have, I mean, how many rental properties do you need to have before you set up an umbrella, you know, Ultimate LLC, the holding company? For us, we waited until I think we had like, I don't know, 5 or 10, actually maybe more than that, like 20 properties.
We had 18.
Yeah. Before we even set up the umbrella holding
company.
It
was an expensive thing to remedy. So you should do it first.
Do it early. Okay.
Yeah. You should do it early because it cost us a lot of money and legal fees to get it restructured.
Your mileage may vary based on your own family history and connection, you know, and partnerships too, because it might be a partner outside of your family. So it might not operate the same way, but this is why, you'll definitely want to, we've got a great episode upcoming, in fact, with our attorney team that we use, and they are fantastic. They, coming up on, we've got on the 8th of June, basic estate planning for legacy wealth building with Andrew Howell, which is fantastic. So we dive into this. Their law firm will teach you on that show how to connect with them and work with them. And then we also did business entity structuring for legacy wealth building. We did a two-part series with Andrew Howell. You don't want to miss that. That's coming up on the 8th of June. So be sure to subscribe because we're going to dive deep. And then you can hire these guys. I mean, we don't get anything from it, but we highly, highly, highly recommend them. So that does it. So yeah, please be sure to check out episode 167, 170 with Andrew Howell. And that's when we'll dive deep into some of that business entity structuring. But don't overthink it. Just turn it over to the experts and let them handle that as you start acquiring a lot more rental properties and building that structuring out. Don't let that impede you from taking action and getting started with real estate investing. You might be saying to yourself, oh my gosh, this is so overwhelming. I don't even want to get started. No. Please do not do that. That would be a huge mistake. Because this is the kind of stuff that can keep people from taking action. So, right? we don't want people to stop taking action on this.
Well, yeah. And the point is you can use this money. Like this is money that you're going to earn that's going to be taxed at a more favorable rate. And it's for you. This is money like for you to use. It's just you have to learn how to, if you're going to start a business, you have to learn to start a business. This is sort of like basic business operating, and we all have to do it. So we have people write us all the time on how to use that money. You know, we had one person actually in our family was like, I'd been using that money out of our LLC to pay my bills. And I was like, what? So people just don't know that, you know, like everyone has to learn.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much for subscribing to the show, The Investing in Real Estate Show. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on the YouTube on the YouTubes as well. And if you are interested in taking action and working with our team to pick up your first rental property, we'll take great care of you. Just go over to our website, morrisinvest.com, and then click on the schedule a consultation button if you're ready to pick up a rental property. Our properties typically cost in that $40,000 to $50,000 range, and we take care of everything for you from soup to nuts, meaning we renovate the property, we place a great tenant in the property with our property management teams that we work with, and then you just sit back and let the cash flow come in. That's what we do. So any final thoughts before we say goodbye?
No, that's it. But if we did not answer your questions, write us and I will try and figure out, you know, whatever it is that we're trying to figure out, because this is something that we're all just trying to figure out together.
Right. It's there's no rule book, but that's why we leave this in the hands of the experts. So we're trying to help you get as much information out there as possible to take action with all of this stuff. So until next time, everyone, go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. We'll see you next time. Much love to you all.